Okay, good evening and welcome to the Wednesday, February 24th meeting of the Oceano Community Services District. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes, Director Gibson.
Here.
Director Villa.
Here.
Director Plogle.
Here.
Vice President White.
Here.
President Austin.
Here. So everyone join me in the flag salute. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America, to the Republic
for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you. And that will bring us to agenda review. Anybody want to change or move anything on the agenda?
I have nothing.
Okay, so I'll get a motion.
I make a motion. We approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, so the agenda will be presented as presented. Now we will go to public comment for items that are not on the agenda.
Yes, and just to remind the public, please hit *9 if you're on the phone, and then if you are on your computer or tablet, hit the raise hand button. And with that, I will unmute Lucia as our first speaker.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. As you know, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Good evening. State Parks has released what is supposed to be the final draft of the public work plan for the Oceano SVRA. State Parks plans to keep Pier Avenue as a permanent access to the SVRA. It wants to continue allowing vehicles to cross the Arroyo Grande Creek, and it wants to start a mega campground development next to Oso Flaco with the entrance to the dunes for off-roading on the dunes. The Oceano Beach Community Association opposes these plans. And it happens that California Coastal Commission opposes them too. The staff report just came out. Please read it. There is going to be a big hearing on March 18th, State Parks will present its plan, and the Coastal Commission will most likely reject it. The Coastal Commission will ask, or at least staff, will recommend that State Parks immediately, as per March 19, closes Pier Avenue to traffic to the beach. That Arroyo Grande Creek will not be crossed no matter at what depth it runs. And that the plover exclosure becomes bigger and permanent. The Oceano Beach Community Association agrees with the basic of this plan. We just think it takes too long. 5 years, I forgot. The Coastal Commission wants to phase off all driving south of Pier Avenue within 5 years. And it wants to allow only some camping between Pier Avenue and Grand Avenue. So basically 5 years to just stop all driving south of Pier Avenue. And we just think it's too long. You know, we like to have Pier Avenue safe, cleaner, more pleasant without vehicles going to the beach. Of course, it will be wonderful. However, if we do not have a safe, cleaner, and pleasant beach to go to, I mean, what good does it do to us to have to get rid of the ramp? We need a safe, clean, and pleasant beachfront for Oceano residents and for tourists who do not want to drive on the beach. So we think 5 years is too long. We will suggest to the Coastal Commission that take this phasing off plan down to 2 years at the most. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Okay. And with that, that was the only hand I had raised. Thank you.
That brings us to our special presentations and reports. So we'll start, is our commander
I believe Commander Wells and Chief Lieberman are not with us this evening.
Okay, and that brings us to our utilities system manager, Tony Maricino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino, Utility Systems Manager. So we're continuing to do our daily rounds, weekly samples. We had 6 work orders, 5 USAs, 6 customer service calls. We had 1 after-hours call-out that was on Maui Circle. That was due to a water valve box. The lid was removed, and there was debris put in there with the other trash around it. It was a safety hazard that somebody could potentially trip and fall into the valve box. So the on-call operator fixed that and cleaned out the debris that was in it. We had to replace an angle stop on a service line off of Railroad. We've had vehicle maintenance where we've had the brakes and we had a tire had to get repaired due to it receiving a nail, and we smogged a couple vehicles. We had to replace another angle stop on a service line on Elm Street. We're still continuing to do trash pickups. We are really focusing on hydrant maintenance now. We have over 250 hydrants, and depending on weather and how much dew's in the air and wind, that limits us on the hydrant maintenance, mostly in the morning until about noon, between 11 and noon, that we can paint and do all the hydrant maintenance and exercise the valves and valve stems on the hydrants. The government fleet smog program to the Bureau of Automotive Repair is complete for this year, and the off-road diesel regulation report is complete with the California Air Resource Board. And Lopez is currently at 39.9% full, which is 19,707 acre feet. Do we have any questions?
Any questions for Tony?
I have none.
I don't think so. Thank you very much, Tony.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to our general manager, Mr. Clemens.
Yeah, I wanted to start with some really good news. We received notification from the State Water Board that we have preliminary award of their Prop 1 grant in the amount of $2,450,733, I want to say. So that's good news. That's for our stormwater diversion and groundwater recharge project at Oceano Elementary School and 19th Street. So we will be putting together the necessary paperwork for that grant and return to your board in March for a resolution related to that funding. So good news on the grant front there. We've also engaged NDC, which is National Demographics Corporation, to basically assist us in drawing our district boundaries for the bi-district elections. Some not so good news along those lines is there's been a delay in the census data again, so the census data will not be released any sooner than July 31st. And so if it is released at that time, beginning of August, usually it takes the state about a month to a month and a half to massage those numbers. And what they do is they take all the prisoners in the state prison system and move them to their location where they were living before they were sent to prison. So the state has to do some massaging of that, and then it would become available for the demographers to use. So that's really gonna compress the time period for all the agencies that need to either redistrict or have initial districts drawn to be able to have that 2020 census data. So the approach that we'll probably take, we still need to meet with NDC and lay out a timeline, but they're probably going to use the 2010 census data preliminarily so that we can start getting an idea of boundaries for our districts. And then once that 2020 census data, it will be used to adjust that information. So more to come on that. Unfortunately, it's kind of pushed further out into the future, and hopefully we get that all squared away in time for the 2022 elections, which is our target. Central Coast Blue, just an update. The city of Pismo Beach certified the EIR, and their goal is to get operating agreements in place with the cities in the next month or so or two. So the timeline for us, since we kind of came in a little bit late in the game, and our contract won't be like contracts with the cities, but will be a little bit different. We're gonna basically come in after that time period with an amendment to the operating agreement, or a separate agreement altogether is what will be proposed. So right now we are internally working on clauses that we wanna see included from Oceano's standpoint, and we'll have obviously more information for you as we get closer to working with the cities and public information here in Oceano regarding what participation in Central Coast Blue could look like. The test injection well project, which is grant funded, has begun, as you're probably well aware, over at the county campground. And that's expected to last 3 months. And I think that's all I have for my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Clemens. Congratulations on the grant. That's very exciting news.
I agree. That's a big deal.
Yes, it is. Any other questions for Mr. Clemens?
Just have one question. The 2010 census, is there a huge amount of difference between that and 2020? Because I don't know how much growth we've really had in Oceano to change.
Yeah, typically Oceano has very small growth, so I wouldn't expect there to be a big difference in the data. So that kind of works in our favor, I believe. But we can only wait to see.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now we'll move on to Board of Directors and outside committee reports. So we'll start with Director Villa.
Yes, so Thursday, February 17th, the OAC met, and the Oceano Advisory Council. And at this meeting, we didn't have any permit recommendations. The bulk of the meeting was used to discuss our future, hopefully near future, residential vacation ordinance. Basically, we're just discussing it now. We have a real rough draft of it. And we did have County Planner Young Choi at our meeting giving us input and providing us, you know, just information on the process, all that it's involved. It is a lengthy process. It has to be approved by the Board of Supervisors. So we do appreciate him coming to our meetings and giving us input. And he is going to come, you know, to our next meeting and give us a little bit more information and feedback on a couple of questions that we had for him. It is very important that we do have a residential vacation ordinance, being that we are a coastal beach town, and we're the only one in San Luis Obispo County that doesn't have anything. So if we want to preserve our character and kind of like guide the direction of our town, we need to have something, and we need the public to know about it and give us input. So we would appreciate them coming to our OAC meetings. They're on the website, on our agenda. You could just click on it and you'll be able to join us. It's every Thursday of the month, and basically that's it.
Okay, thank you. Next is Director Gibson.
Nothing to report.
All right. Director Rapogo?
Nothing.
Okay. Vice President White?
Yeah. And I wrote it. We had a regular meeting of the Five Cities Fire Authority held on Friday, February 19th by telephone. We don't meet with Zoom, we just meet by telephone. And we approved authorization. To enact an agreement for reimbursement of the costs associated with the COVID-19 vaccination effort when the payments are received from the state and federal funding. We've spent about $40,000. It's in staff time, but it is represented in overtime in our Five Cities Fire Authority support for the COVID-19 campaign. Almost all the cities, all the entities, everybody has gotten involved in helping, and they now are being able to kind of be released because the federal government has sent some visiting nurses and stuff to pick up some of that. And now that it's also established, it's because part of the thing was establishing it, getting everything set up for the effort. And the other action, we didn't take action, we tabled a possible revision of a proposed purchasing policy for the FCA for Five Cities Fire. We use the policy now for the city of Arroyo Grande, and we're considering making our own policy. And it was not a very long meeting. Anyway, thank you.
Hey, thank you, Karen. I didn't have any meeting. The sanitation didn't meet, but I just have a little thing that at the last Board of Supervisors meeting, they approved the contract for the next phase of the sidewalks around the school. So it'll be starting soon, new sidewalks on the Paso Robles side between 19th and the next street over. So that was really very good news. So that's all I have. So with that, we'll have public comment now on the special presentations and the reports from the Board of Directors, staff reports.
And just to remind the public, it's star 9 on the phone, and if you're on your computer or tablet, it's the raise hand button. And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
Okay, thank you. All right, that brings us to item 7, the consent agenda items. So we have the minutes. February 10th, 2021, cash disbursements, and review and file the June 30th, 2020 audited financial statements and independent auditor's report prepared by Moss, Levy, and Hartson. So, anybody have any comments or anything on the consent agenda? Any questions on the consent agenda?
Yeah, Director Austin, I want to make a couple of suggestions for corrections on the minutes, item 7A, so I'd like to pull that.
Okay. We'll pull 7A. And everybody okay with B and C?
And I go ahead and make a motion approving consent.
Perhaps, Vice President White, public comment.
Public comment.
I'm sorry. Public comment.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes, and just to remind the public, star 9 on the phone, and if you're on your computer or tablet, it's the raise hand button. And I have one hand raised so far, and I will allow Julie to speak.
Good evening, Julie Tacker. And I too wanted to speak to the minutes. So is this the right time, or do I wait till you?
No, I think so, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So relative to business item 8A with the fireworks, and I raised a point and it's not reflected here, and I didn't get an answer to it, is Five Cities Fire Authority going to be enforcing the new ordinance, because they haven't been enforcing the previous ordinance. So that's a question that I raised in, and it's not reflected in the minutes. I'd like it to be. And then when we get to that item later on tonight, that's again going to be my question. How is it that Five Cities Fire Authority is going to be the enforcer of the ordinance? Thank you.
Okay. All right. Is there any other public comment?
And with that, that was the only hand I had raised. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll look for a motion on item 7B and C.
I'll now make a motion to approve consent agenda items B and C.
I second.
Okay, roll call, please.
Sorry about that. Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Plogle?
Yes.
And President Austin?
Yes. Okay, then we'll come back to item 7A. So Director Plogle, did you wanna?
Yeah, so I had a couple of suggested corrections. First in item 8A, Charles Carlson's comment. I believe he was actually in opposition of banning safe and sane fireworks on December 31st, not in opposition of fireworks. And then on item 12, I don't recall noting that changes to this future agenda items have been specifically noted in the minutes before, but as they are noted here, I would suggest changing that to against the opposition of two directives given to staff to remove the letter on the state parks PWP. So it doesn't look like this was some unanimous direction.
Okay, is that all, Director? Done. Okay. All right. So on those corrections, did everyone take note of that?
Don't we need to come back?
Or do we need to bring the minutes back, or can we approve them with the
as amended?
As amended,
I would make a motion that we approve the minutes as amended.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Director Plogle?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
And President Austin?
Yes. Okay, that brings us down to now item 8.
Linda, President Austin?
Yes.
Can I, I couldn't unmute, but I had a question for Vice President White about the firefighters.
Oh, go ahead if you have.
Yeah. I just wanted to know, what were the duties that they performed, the firefighters, for COVID?
Well, for the Five Cities Fire Authority, Chief Lieberman was doing liaison and coordination as a part of the Office of Emergency Services, which is handling the entire thing for public health. And then, I can't think of his name, but one of the other firefighters for our group was also doing liaison. But for other firefighters, EMTs and other times, EMTs and paramedics were actually giving inoculations. And then there were just all different kinds of things depending on different people's skills and the needs.
Yeah.
Like I know some of the people from the Roy Grandy Parks, I think, and Recreation Department were doing setup. So it was different people from different areas doing different things. But Cal Fire, all of their paramedics were doing inoculations. And then just watching people, I mean, just every skill that could be filled was being filled by kind of like somebody who was volunteered from the city of San Luis, from Five Cities Fire Authority, from City of Roy Grandy. I mean, just all around, everybody was helping.
Okay, good to know.
Because they had the capacity to give 3,000 inoculations or vaccinations a day.
Yeah.
They've never had that much vaccine, but that was, they had the capacity to do that, and that's pretty good for our little county.
Yeah. Okay, good to know. Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you. So we're back now to item 8A. So we do these separately. So we'll do 8A, introduction of an ordinance repealing and replacing District Code 15.10, sale of fireworks. Ask for public comment first.
Yeah, that would be good. I just want to maybe address the question that was out there. So, of course, we discussed this ordinance extensively several weeks ago, and you gave staff direction on various items to adjust in the ordinance, which we did. The most notable was just allowing the safe and sane use on July 4th. So it was decided not to allow it on December 31st as well. So I just wanted to make sure everyone realizes that this ordinance would only allow safe and sane use on July 4th. The question about will the fire chief enforce the ordinance? So in the ordinance, when it refers to the fire chief, currently that is the fire chief of the Five Cities Fire Authority. So he would be responsible for enforcing those parts of the ordinance where it indicates he will, which would be basically the operation of the stand. And so I wanted to make that clear. We go back at some point in the future to a standalone fire department, it would be the fire chief of the Oceano Fire Department. But as it currently stands, just like this language is similar to the city of Grover Beach's ordinance, it's the chief of the Five Cities Fire Authority that carries out those duties in their ordinance. So with that, you could open it to public comment and
messages.
I'd be happy to answer any more questions.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Carrie, let's open to public comment.
Yes, and just to remind the public, star 9 on the phone and the raise hand button on your computer or tablet. I have one hand raised and I will unmute Ms. Tacker.
Thank you again, Julie Tacker, and thank you for the explanation, Mr. Clemens. I just had reflections of the previous ordinance not being enforced because it so-called predated the Five Cities Fire Authority. And that's caused some consternation. So I'm happy to see that this will be enforced by the Five Cities Fire Authority chief, or the chief at the time. So thank you very much. And I hope you all have a peaceful year without fireworks, but for the 4th of July. Thank you.
Okay, is there any other public comment?
And with that was the last hand I had raised. Thank you.
All righty, thank you. Okay, so we'll bring us back now to the board on the ordinance. I think it's all done up the way we did last time. So is there any comments?
I don't have any.
Everybody good with it?
Yeah. I make a motion.
Any comments? Let's have a motion then, please.
I make a motion that we repeal and replace District Code 15.10, sale of fireworks.
I second.
Okay, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Vice President.
Can I just clarify that your motion is to approve staff recommendations?
Yes.
Thank you.
I second that.
All right. Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Yes, but I would like the record to reflect that I'm supporting this because we need to restrict the previously uncontrolled use of safe and sane fireworks. However, I am still opposed to allowing the sale of fireworks in Oceano because nonprofits have a lot of other ways to raise funds besides this way.
Okay.
And then Director Villa?
Yes.
And then President Austin?
Yes. Okay. Very good. Okay, now that brings us down to item 8B. And I think we have a presentation here. This is a consideration of Ordinance 2019-1 of the San Luis Obispo County Integrated Waste Management Authority to ban polystyrene and provide direction on a letter to IWMA as deemed appropriate by the board. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Clemens.
Yeah, thank you. So this ordinance of the IWMA 2019-1, your board had previously supported that ordinance in 2019. I believe it was the September 11th meeting. Subsequent to that, the ordinance was adopted. However, it was never implemented. It was deferred due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And now the board of the IWMA is considering repealing that ordinance. So it would be good to reconsider your board's position on that ordinance, since basically they'd be repealing an ordinance that you supported. And I thought it would be good if we invited the executive director of IWMA to explain what's taking place at IWMA and why they're considering that action. And then it would be up to your board to give direction on what you want to do to move forward. So with that, I would invite Mr. Stayer to provide us with whatever information he would like to regarding what's taking place at IWMA.
Thank you, Mr. Clemens. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
And is it okay? I've got a few slides, if that's okay. Can I share my screen?
Certainly.
Thank you. And is that coming through?
It is.
Okay, just a couple things I want to talk about. So the board passed this in 2019, and it was a very contentious issue, and the board was very split on it. And so it drove the whole idea of looking back at our purpose and our function and whether that was something that the JPA should be doing. So it started a whole ball of rolling out a strategic plan. So we spent the better part of the year going through the strategic plan. And so I want to get you up to speed on that, talk a little bit about the difference between the polystyrene ordinance that five cities had already adopted and what IWMA proposed, and then look at the recent and pending legislation, because that may be a fix that is good for everybody. So again, the decisive issue, what it came back to was, does the JPA have the authority to pass an ordinance? And it came back, the answer was clearly that it did, but was that the purpose? And so we went back to the JPA itself, the founding document, and it basically said the authority was formed with the purpose and intent of facilitating development and programs and projects that were efficient, but without interfering with individual agencies' exercise of power. So in other words, it was very clear that they didn't want to trump any other jurisdiction's capability to enforce anything. And then the second issue was membership with the JPA, and it is very voluntary. Any agency can withdraw from the JPA with 30 days notice, period. So it's not mandatory. And so the whole question here is, if you pass an ordinance and then an agency withdraws, the ordinance no longer applies to them, and it may dissolve the entire agency. And so the entire ordinance goes away, possibly. So we dug a little bit deeper of what was the intent. And so the JPA was formed back in 1994 because it was an California Integrated Waste Management Act requirement. It was a mandate. And so 11 times in our founding document, it said the acts are what's mandated and what we're supposed to do. 4 times it mentioned the word goal, but the goal was then used, not the goal of the agency or whatever the goal became at the time, but it was satisfying or complying with the requirements of the Integrated Waste Management Act. So the whole intent of the agency appeared to be mandates only. But it did pass ordinances. And so there were 9 passed from 1994 to now. But the majority of them, 7 of the 9 were mandated. In other words, for example, we had to manage hypodermic needles and make sure they weren't going in the waste stream. So every jurisdiction could have passed their own mandate, but because everyone had to do it and it was a state mandate, we did one ordinance that covered all the jurisdictions. So 7 of the 9 were that. The only 2 that weren't were plastic bags. That was ahead of the state, but 2 years later, the state mandated it, so it became moot. So really, we're down to 1 ordinance that was not mandated, and I think there's legislation that's going to happen anyway. So again, the purpose of the agency was to meet state mandates. And then we started talking about SB 1383, and you may have heard that, but that is a huge requirement, and the jurisdictions have to pass 7 new ordinances, and we have 10 months to do that. So there's a lot of work to be done on other things that are mandated, not polystyrene at this point. Then I wanted to talk a little bit about the difference between our polystyrene ordinance and the other 5 that are out there. So what the cities had passed prior to IWMA was EPS, or expanded polystyrene, and everybody uses the trade name styrofoam, but it was restaurant and food providers only, and it was food and drink containers only, and it exempted foods prepared outside the jurisdiction and meat trays. So it was not real comprehensive, and it was those white containers you see at the bottom, which are primarily the ones that end up being litter and potentially being in the ocean more than others. So the IWMA's ordinance was much more comprehensive. So you see those, all those different types of containers at the bottom that are no longer the white foam, but everything else. And so it applied to anything that had plastic number 6 on it. And it not only was limited to restaurants, but it went to any stores or businesses and to nonprofits, churches, civic clubs, so every organization. And then it went beyond just the food containers, and it went to that whole list there, utensils, trays, wrappers, et cetera. And then it limited the alternatives. And then the foods prepared outside the county or meat trays, they were no longer exempted. So it was anything made of polystyrene and contained food, regardless if it was in county or out of county, had to be gone. And so again, that became very contentious with the board. And there was also the question of whether the state is going to fix this for us. And California has a really strong history of having a lot of solid waste regulations. So these are the regulations that have passed in the 30 years. Now they propose about 50 every year. About 15 get passed on average. So this is how many have been passed: 509 in 30 years. So 15 new solid waste regulations every year. So I believe polystyrene is next. It's probably coming. Here's what's already passed and what's on the docket now. Last year, they passed 793, which was recycled content of beverage containers, which that's not, very few things are made of polystyrene beverage containers. But the point here is that many plastics are not recyclable. What you need to do is standardize plastics to just a few types and then make those containers contain the recycled content. And that will eliminate all those non-recyclable plastics, which are most of them. Most plastics are downcycled one time. In other words, the bottle that you drink out of is recycled into carpet. And then when the carpet is done, the carpet is thrown away. So it's not this circular economy. But if we could get to a standardized type of plastic and fewer types of plastic, then it would be this circular economy, which would be great, which is what we want. And so SB 793 was the first step towards that, addressing the beverage containers, but then there's a lot more coming. So for example, SB 54, which is on the docket for this year, addresses any single-use packaging, including plastics. And that would be any plastic container, and it's got to contain recycled content. So even though it doesn't spell out polystyrene, that's not a very recyclable plastic, and they won't be able to make it with 20, 30, 40% recycled content. So it'll be phased out automatically just because it won't be recyclable. There's also a 2020 ballot initiative that already has the signatures. It's got over $5 million behind it. It's pushed by Recology, which I believe is the largest waste service provider in California. And it is going to mandate that all plastic packaging, including polystyrene containers and foodware, be reduced by 25%, and it must be recyclable or reusable. And it specifically prohibits polystyrene food containers statewide. But they would go away anyway, because if you have a standardized product that has to contain recycled content or is reduced packaging, it's going to go away anyway. And then last week, there was another bill passed, and it was 343, which says if it has that recycling triangle, that symbol on it, and it's not recyclable, it can't have that symbol on it anymore. So those materials.
Excuse me, Brooks. I think you just said that was passed, but the slide says
introduced. It was introduced. I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you. I misspoke there. It's introduced. So the only one that's passed is 793, but these other threes are lined up. And again, I don't know that it'll happen this year or next year, but I think it's coming. That's the way we're moving. So the whole issue is that what we passed before split apart the board, or was potentially splitting apart the board. So they went back and looked at the purpose of the JPA and said, you know, we only agree on mandates only. If we do more than mandates, we need to split up. And they voted 11-1 to stay together and meet mandates only. So the only outstanding issue was this polystyrene ordinance that they had approved but not taken effect yet. So it came back. I also want to mention, we're an education agency, and they overwhelmingly, every board member supported the idea that we should not do enforcement and we should be educationally based. And so we will be proposing to produce a website that gives alternatives to polystyrene products, and we can roll this out in a non-enforcement way and not ban everything, but give alternatives for everything. And so the board hasn't seen this yet, but this is something we'll propose at the March meeting. So with that, and I will mention, Jeff Minery is also our counsel. Is there anything that I left out there, Jeff, or you think is pertinent to the discussion?
No, I think you hit all the main points that have been discussed at the IWMA staff and board level.
Okay. So with that, I'll turn it over to any questions y'all may have.
Okay, thank you very much. We have questions? You may want to start with questions.
Yeah, this is Director Gibson. Was this an issue that the Board of Supervisors had?
Several of the Board of Supervisors, but it was a couple of other board members, not with the county. In total, there were potentially three agencies that were going to potentially leave the agency if they pursued more than mandates only. And then that brought into the whole question of, would there even be a JPA at all? And then everybody would be there on their own with those other five ordinances, the seven new that have to be introduced and roll out of 1383. So it just became such a huge issue and so contentious, everybody decided, let's just meet state mandates.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else have questions?
I have some comments. First of all, I like to say I don't like to see what appears to be a lot of fear-mongering and threats. I mean, certainly there is the potential for some of the IWMA members, particularly in North County, to want to withdraw from the JPA. But at this point, it seems like they and several conservative Board of Supervisors members are using that as a threat to go back and undo an ordinance that was already passed. And I have to point out, with overwhelming public support, even at the most recent meeting, there were 100 or so comments from the public, all in support of keeping the polystyrene ordinance and none in opposition. This is something that the people of SLO County want to see retained. And it's very disappointing to me that some are using this as this threat of leaving the JPA as a cudgel to try and go back and undo very popular legislation. Also leads to the question of, are they going to go back even farther and try and undo other ordinances that were already enacted? And then I like to point out, Mr. Stayer, I think it's a little disingenuous to point to a bunch of potential state legislation that's only been introduced or ballot initiatives that have been proposed to deal with the polystyrene issue, because that's all purely speculative. We don't know that that's going to be enacted anytime soon, or if it will be enacted at all, or if it will be completely watered down, as for instance, the smoking ban on state beaches and parks was significantly watered down by the time it finally passed. It had only a $25 fine, and it was enacted at the start of 2020, I believe, when it was supposed to go into effect. But it's contingent upon state parks putting up signs saying that there is a smoking ban at state beaches and parks. And state parks here in Oceano has just entirely declined to put up signs, and therefore they do not have to enforce the law, and there is no state smoking ban on the beach in effect. So we don't know what's going to happen at the state level. Could be nothing, could be something watered down, could be a law that's as good as the one we have now in Ordinance 2019-1, or, you know, it could be a good law that doesn't come for another 5 years. And meanwhile, we are dealing with this as a significant source of litter in our communities. It's not biodegradable, it's not recyclable. And when it gets into the streets and onto the beaches and gets into the ocean, birds and other wildlife, fish mistake it for food. And someone who's fishing at the beach and takes home a fish that has been ingesting these types of plastics to their family, they're ingesting the toxins that are being released by those plastics into the fish's flesh. So it's a human health issue as well. And here we have this strong law that was enacted over a year ago and set to go in effect last April, but delayed because of COVID. You know, does it perhaps go too far in a few aspects? Maybe, but you don't need to throw out the baby with the bathwater and repeal the whole thing. Why not just fix it, fix what you don't like? But let's keep moving forward with the environmental progress that's represented by this law. I was very impressed when I came to SLO County from San Diego and found that there was a plastic bag ban in effect here already, because that was ahead of what was in place in Southern California. There was no plastic bag ban. San Diego did enact one a few years later, and then ultimately the state, but SLO County has been very forward thinking in protecting our environment and protecting the health of our people and our wildlife. So I think we need to keep moving forward with that. Also, you'd mentioned that getting one of the proposed laws enacted that would increase recyclable content in plastics would help to lead to a circular economy. And we have to realize there's never going to be a circular economy for plastics. They have a limited lifetime in terms of how many times they can be recycled. So until we move away entirely from plastics and towards more sustainable materials, we're going to keep generating more plastic trash that, whether it gets to be recycled zero times, as 90% of plastics are, or once or twice, it's ultimately going to end up in the landfill. And that as an agency responsible for solid waste services, the Oceano CSD needs to be cognizant of taking steps to eliminate persistent pollutant that is going to be clogging up our landfills and reducing our landfill capacity going forward. Sorry if that was kind of a data dump there. I have been heavily involved for many years with Surf Riders Rise Above Plastics program, and I'm pretty knowledgeable in this area. So I hope that that information has been helpful to everyone in your deliberations.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Okay.
Some of the cities in our vicinity have some kind of a styrofoam ban. Does Pismo, Roy Grande, somebody does, Grover and Pismo?
Is that? Yeah, there are five cities, Pismo, Grover Beach, Morro Bay, San Luis Obispo, and yeah. Brooks, perhaps you know the fifth one?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. But yes, and that was the position of the board, is that they voted 11-1 to allow the local jurisdictions to adopt things that aren't mandated. So they're free to pass them, just not the IWMA.
Do we have any ability to do anything like that? Or does that have to come from San Luis County?
I don't know, Will.
I would kind of defer that to Jeff.
Yep. I believe that was probably directed to me. Somewhat unclear to me at this point. My initial take would be that it would be that you would fall under the county, whether or not we do have trash authority and authority for garbage, but does that extend to regulating businesses in this regard? I'm presently unclear. However, if the county were to take such action, we would certainly fall within the county's ambit in that regard.
Okay, so we'd have to kind of twist the county's arm. And
And there's an enforcement aspect of it as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So,
and we need to be cognizant of the current makeup of the Board of Supervisors, as well as the express positions of the majority of the Board of Supervisors. They would not be in a position to pass any ordinance that would restrict polystyrene. They would not do that.
We would assume that. We don't know for sure. Okay, so then we either can joust at windmills or wait, or what can we do?
I guess anybody have any comments? Or
I do.
Yeah.
But you mentioned, I'm sorry, I don't see him anymore on my screen.
He's here somewhere. I don't
he's
there.
Okay.
I guess if I talk, do I appear again?
You're there.
I don't see you any. Maybe if I
put your arrow over and you'll go to him.
Yeah. No, but Brooks.
Yes, ma'am.
I thought Cynthia said Brooks. I don't see your name on there anymore. You mentioned that there was a couple, like three members or so, that said they wanted to they would drop out or remove themselves from the board if they continued to support the polystyrene ordinance. Did you say that they threatened or they stated they would leave?
I don't think it was necessarily totally related to polystyrene. It was the concept of whether you just discussed it, of whether your agency has the jurisdiction or the authority to pass an ordinance on some other jurisdiction. And that's where they said they did, but it was limited to mandates only.
Okay, so they still hold that position?
It's my understanding that they do.
Okay. I think being that we are a coastal town and we have, you know, our beautiful ocean, our beach here, with the birds and all the, all the animals and that are part of the coastal system, that it is important that Oceano supports this polystyrene ban. Even though I really think it's important that we make our position clear that Oceano is against use of this, because especially because we are a coastal beach town, and then it's up to the Board of Supervisors to decide and to make the right moral decision and to, you know, do the right thing, hopefully, and Bannock countywide, but I do think it's very important to do this.
What will happen if the ordinance isn't repealed?
I don't want to speculate on that, but I obviously the whole issue of the existence of the JPA could be in danger, and I spent a year trying to keep the agency together, so.
Okay.
And how many not to go that
just,
route.
If I could just comment on that for a moment.
Could I finish, please?
Oh, I was trying to answer your question, Director Gibson, because I've been attending the meetings.
I actually had some more questions for him.
Go ahead, Shirley.
How many members are there on the JPA?
13,
okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
So if I may comment a little bit on that now. There was some discussion at the previous meeting before the motion to draft an ordinance to rescind the polystyrene ban was voted upon to postpone enforcement of it for an additional year or some length of time because of the coronavirus epidemic, to give businesses a little more flexibility. So that's something that could possibly happen if it wasn't rescinded, is to postpone it a little bit longer. It could also be reformed, amended in some aspects to make it more palatable to some of the jurisdictions that are expressing an issue now. Of course, this was just enacted a little over a year ago, so it's a pretty fresh ordinance that was determined to be acceptable by the council at the time, by the board at the time. But there are small changes that could be made in order to fix any issues that might be considered at this point. From what I observed watching these meetings over the past months, the issue with some of the jurisdictions threatening to pull out seemed to arise independently from the polystyrene ordinance, and then going after a decision was made to change to only dealing with state mandates and not enacting legislation on their own was made. It seemed to be at that point that the decision was made to go back and try and repeal this ordinance that had already been enacted. So from my observations, they weren't like tied together. It's only been more of a veiled threat that some jurisdictions might withdraw if this isn't repealed. I'm not sure how serious that threat is. And again, to do the repeal in the face of significant public support for this, it wouldn't be supportive of the constituents of these board members.
Brooks, I'm sorry, I forgot your last name.
Thayer.
Would you agree with Director Opogel about those options as choices?
Well, we gave them three options. One, to proceed with the ordinance and just give us some money because we're focused on 1383, to postpone it and see what happened with the legislation. And the third option was to repeal and allow local jurisdictions to adopt that ordinance or the prior ordinance that the other jurisdictions had adopted. But we told them any option was on the table. And the vote went 7-6 in favor of option three, which was repeal and allow the local jurisdictions to implement.
Okay. So your thought basically is that if it's not repealed, then it may be the end of the JPA.
That's a distinct possibility.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You mean if it's repealed, it would be the end, or if it's
not repealed?
Not repealed.
Not repealed.
Yeah.
Brooks, would it be possible for one or two or three members to leave the JPA and the JPA still continues to exist for the remaining members?
I think it could, and that was some of the discussion that I was trying to lead when we were going through this of would they be amenable to the idea of two smaller JPAs, one that met state mandates and one that did more?
Okay, so
what are we going to do?
Well, are you saying that
what do we need to do? Yeah,
what would happen are you saying that the whole IWMA would dissolve then?
Potentially. It would be an effort to create two new JPAs.
Okay.
And let me backtrack. So you are now part of the Integrated Waste Management Act, which you have established a baseline for disposal and the 10 pounds per person per day and the diversion percentages as a county, everybody together. Yeah. So if we split up in any fraction, everyone will have to redo that whole process, which is about a year and hundreds of thousands of dollars per each agency. And then there's the whole compliance with SB 1383, which is the biggest thing the state has ever passed in solid waste terms. And then the existing seven ordinances would all go away and everybody would have to reformulate those, plus the seven new that are required for 1383. And it would be a massive undertaking and everybody would pay a lot of money.
Okay.
But we wouldn't be doing it. The county of San Luis Obispo would be doing it for us.
No. Yeah. May I interject there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Each jurisdiction with solid waste authority like your agency would be ultimately responsible and is ultimately responsible for complying with SB 1383. As members of the JPA, IWMA is taking on the majority, if not almost all, of the work effort on behalf of the special districts like Oceano. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brooks.
No, you're correct.
So then without it, we would have to devise our own programs and everything. Like we'd have to have our own IWMA, so to speak.
Or form another one.
And
it would behoove everyone to form another one, because then you're sharing the cost and the effort.
So what I'm hearing from this discussion is the threat that if Oceano CSD decides to send this letter supporting the polystyrene ordinance and imposing repeal, that risks the entire JPA being dissolved. Is that a correct understanding of what the threat is that you're presenting, Brooks?
Get to it, yeah.
I don't know what the impact of your letter would be to the board.
Probably not much.
That's what I'm understanding the threat as is if the ordinance doesn't get repealed, that the JPA may dissolve. You know, have JPA members. IWMA members specifically said, if this is not repealed, we're going to withdraw from the JPA.
I have not had that specific discussion because the vote went in favor of repealing the ordinance and staying together as a JPA.
Okay, so that's purely speculation then.
Oh, I'm not speculating it. I'm not speculating.
No, I'm just saying telling you the threat I'm hearing that if the ordinance isn't repealed, the JPA could dissolve. That's all pure speculation because no members of the JPA have said that that's their condition.
But it's already been taken off because the vote was against it.
Right.
So it's a done deal. So our letter is kind of muted.
They agreed to come back.
No, the letter's not. The board voted to move forward with an ordinance repealing the polystyrene ordinance.
Yeah.
And that's going to be heard. The ordinance is going to have its first reading on March 10th.
So it was a vote.
And its second reading on April 14th. So it's not a done deal yet. They just moved forward with presenting an ordinance. And it's still to be voted on. So we have one special district representative who represents all the community services districts and other special districts who provide trash services. He's Robert Enns, and he voted to repeal. without getting, as far as I can tell, without getting any input from the authorized districts he represents. So this letter would just be expressing, as we did for the prior meeting, that we support the ordinance and don't want to see it rescinded.
Could I make a suggestion? What would it hurt if we asked the if we asked for a year's delay, if we asked to put it on the table for another year? We are still in COVID, people are still taking meal deliveries in all kinds of forms and ways. If we could put it on the table for another year and come back to it a year from now when life is really going to be quite different.
Are you asking me?
No, I'm asking my board.
Oh,
my other members of the board. I'm asking them to consider.
Sorry about that. Thank
this
you.
Is an action.
Do you think
anybody
what?
Think about that?
We're going to send them a letter and ask them to do that at their next meeting just to consider our viewpoint. Is that?
Yeah, so maybe if I could just focus us a little bit. Again, there's a lot of speculation out there about what could happen. We're not going to solve that tonight. You have to think of, you know, what position does your board want to take regarding this ordinance 2019-1. Currently, you took a position of support in 2019 before it was adopted. And so if you do nothing tonight, that position stays the same, and that's the board's position. There's a letter that is in the staff report that you could authorize sending, which basically confirms your position and requests that the board not repeal it, or the IWMA board not repeal that ordinance. Or you could take a different approach and send a different letter or not. It's really up to your board. So, you know, it might be good to take public comment if there is any, and then discuss those options and what your board wants to do.
Okay, and then there's also, I was thinking, we have here also the mandates only policy that they adopted, that was adopted by the board of the IWMA. And we would basically say if they repeal ordinance 2019-1, then the OCSD supports a timely implementation by the IWMA of state mandates related to the use of polystyrene, because none of us like polystyrene. We would like to see it gone, but I don't know. Let's just open the public comment and see what we get from that, and then we'll move on.
Carrie, we can't hear you.
All right. How about now?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. My headset gets unplugged. So just to remind the public, *9 on the phone, and if you're on your computer or tablet, is the raise hand button. So the first speaker I have is Janine Rands, and I will unmute the first speaker.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, good. Yeah, I've been working on this issue for 8 years, and thrilled when the IWMA passed this ordinance for the county. Your closest city that passed it was Grover Beach in 2018. And we saw an immediate reduction in polystyrene waste coming from Grover Beach and, of course, Pismo Beach, but also saw within months that Oceano coffee shops and takeout places were still using polystyrene foam. So those were, so that residue and debris were still evident, and that's still evident because those restaurants are still selling it. There's a little liquor shop there on Pier Avenue. They're still selling polystyrene plates for in the small restaurant that you can take out those plates and cups. There is a state mandate for solid waste, and polystyrene is a solid waste. It never goes away. It can't be composted or recycled. It's food residue degraded, and so nobody's going to take that and recycle it. The birds use it as food waste, especially if it's food contaminated, they pick it up. What is the cost of killing a seagull or a whale or other fish? And then the marine biologists pick it up and dissect it and find it's full of trash from plastic. The cost of all of that, all of those biologists and veterinarians that are dissecting these birds and finding out the cause of death, but the human carcinogens as well from eating out of polystyrene. The styrene chemicals are activated by oily foods, acidic foods, and hot foods. So why in God's name would anybody eat out of that polystyrene, knowing that it's carcinogenic and disrupts with your nervous system? We have got to be as caretakers of this earth and of our ocean and of our litter to stop this stuff. We stop it at the source, and that's at the retail sale as well as the restaurant, the food business. But also there's a huge California state $420 million tab on waste pickup by the who's going to pay for that? Thank you.
All right, thank you.
And then the next hand I have raised is Mary Martin. So I will unmute her.
Hello, thank you. I have never spoken before at your meeting, but this is a topic that is so important to me, and I'm so glad that we voted for it in the past. It's critical that we don't have polystyrene, and that we even plastic forks and knives and spoons and all that stuff. It is just so bad for the planet. So that's all I have to say. Keep up the good work, and we don't want that stuff sold in our county.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And with that was the last hand I had raised. Thank you.
All right, so now we'll bring it back. And so I guess our options are to do nothing, and that leaves our letter in place that we supported the ban, the 2019 one, or we can approve the letter to the IWMA that's in our packet, or we can change our position and support repeal or take a neutral stand. Or we could say what I said earlier about we support the mandates only policy and adopted by the board, but with the stipulation, we'd like to see a timely implementation by the IWMA of state mandates related to the use of polystyrene. So if I could ask another, Mr. Brooks, are you here?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I just wanted to ask, clarify again, if you can remind us why the ordinance was approved in 2019 and then to ban it, and then the COVID hit and we delayed it, and then they voted to repeal it. And so is this all because the vote to repeal it was, how do we end up here that it was, they weren't getting along, so they said, well, if we're going to keep together, we're going to keep this group together, let's just go by the state mandates, because it was always an argument, half for, half against.
Correct. I'd say that's a...
We're at a point here where we're just trying to keep the IWMA together, because it does serve a very valuable purpose, and to try to for it to disband and then have to regroup would be, I don't think it would be good for anyone. But I know I'm certainly, I still support the 2019 of the ban of the polystyrene, but I'm a little concerned about what'll happen now. So that's my concern is I wouldn't like to see this group disband and have to start over. If you said that this, it will probably will be banned by the state soon, or you speculate?
I said that there is legislation out there. I believe it will come. I don't know what year, okay. But you saw that slide I showed of the 509. There are 50 pieces of legislation on solid waste every year. That's the average. And they adopt a third of them every year. So I don't know when, but I believe it is coming. You see, there's 500 regulations out there. It's going to come. I just don't know when.
I'm surprised it hasn't, really, because it is polystyrene does not dissolve. I know you see it everywhere. So I wish they would get it done sooner than later.
I'd like to make a motion. I'd like to make the motion that we send the letter of support on the ordinance to regulate polystyrene that is in our agenda package.
Second.
And I was just going to say, and because I think our efforts to ban polystyrene is an interest that most of the voters in the Oceanic Community Service District have, and it also has such an impact on our beach. And we'll just let whatever politics happens, because we can't, as the guy the small guy in the bottom, all we can do is let them know where we stand. Thank you.
Again, second.
Great. We have a motion and a second. So let's do a roll call, please.
President White?
Yes.
Director Replogle?
Yes.
Director Villa?
A strong yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
And President Austin?
Yes. All right. Well, thank you for all that. Thank you, Brooks, for your presentation.
Thank you. Glad to help.
Feel your pain.
Yeah.
I just was commenting. I was thinking to myself, wow, it only takes you that long to take a vote? When you have 13 members, it takes a lot longer.
Well, thank you for being
here. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Brooks. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That will bring us to...
Good job, Vice President White.
Yes.
I don't like polystyrene.
I don't either.
And I might just add that with taking out stuff now, I'm finding a lot of nice brown cardboard. I mean, and this is high-end stuff.
Yeah.
Because I don't buy it, my friends do.
Okay, all right, let's move on then. Looks like we're done. There's no hearing items. Any written communications?
Nope.
Anybody want to comment on future agenda items?
I just had a quick question. I just wondered how we're doing on the Lopez Water contract amendments.
You have it, Austin?
We're moving forward. It's still in the environmental CEQA process with the county, and their goal is to have it wrapped up in the summer with amendments back to each board and council between July and September. So hopefully we get it done this year.
All right. Well, if there's anything else, anyone? Are we ready to adjourn? Okay. Without further ado, then.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All right. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Night.
Bye. Bye.